This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Now joining Tim Mize in Studio A. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning, David Jenkins. Thank you very much. How are you doing today?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Had to turn my mic back on. I turned it off for a sec.
I see you're rocking the Blues Tarasenko t-shirt.
That's right. We're getting ready to start. When? Pretty soon. I'm not as diehard a Blues fan as others may be.
Hockey season is so long. I enjoy, like, playoff hockey. I got nothing against the sport of hockey, but I can't get into hockey in October.
It's, well, for obvious reasons, because baseball playoffs during the same time. And football is in the heart of its season, so yeah. It's the same length as basketball, pretty much. I think it starts same time and ends about the same time, so.
Yeah, you are right. In the regular season, about 81 games for both in terms of
82.
The NHL and NBA.
Yeah.
Of course, for Chicago, the Blackhawks will take a back seat here in the month of October, and the Cubbies will take over the town.
That's right.
They clinched home field advantage through the playoffs yesterday, by the way, rolled the Cardinals 5-0, and they're back at it. Wrigley Field today, game time, broadcast time.
11:10, and it wasn't that close, by the way, 5-0.
It wasn't. It really wasn't. So the Cubs are a powerhouse. That's not exactly breaking news. They've been dominant all year, but they are getting themselves primed up for the postseason run. Hard to believe the high school football season is now more than halfway done as we completed week 5 last night in the South Central Conference in the game heard on FM 106. Vandalia improved to 4-1. They beat Litchfield 49-14. In the game we had on 105.3, the Ox, the Toppers 5-0 on the year. They shut out Gillespie 26-0 on a night that Gillespie honored legendary head coach Don DeBrino. They had players from all three schools that he has coached. DePew High School back in the 60s. Of course, Gillespie with his run starting in the 70s. Took over the Mount Olive program in the early 2000s. And then his return to Gillespie a few years ago. And they had players from all of those squads back for an outstanding halftime ceremony last night. Toppers, though, won the ball game 26-0. Greenville all over Roxana 47-14. The Comets now 3-2 on the year. The Pana Panthers remained undefeated as they blanked Southwestern 41-0. And the Carlinville Cavaliers picked up their fourth win of the year as they shut out Staunton 49-0. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Carlinville Cavaliers, Chad Easterday. And Chad, I don't know if your team played angry last night, but I can't imagine it was a real fun week for Carlinville football after that game against Pana last week. Chad, can you hear me? David, is my mic in utility?
Hello?
Live radio, you gotta love it. Chad, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Alright, there we go. We had a slight malfunction, but we are good to go now. I'll shorten up the question I had for you. Did you play angry last night after the game against Pana last Saturday?
No, I don't think so. Nope. You know, I thought the Pana game last week, we didn't get a chance to talk about it, was a great high school football game.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we did some things right. We did some things wrong. I thought they did the same thing. And we just didn't, and gave ourselves a chance to win at the end. So I was proud of our kids last week for not, quote unquote, dropping the ball in critical situations in terms of the game plan. So, you know, that was pretty nice. But I don't know about playing angry. I think if you just try to stay focused, the season's 9 weeks long and you try to get better every week. And, you know, I know that's the standard answer everybody wants to hear, but I just don't think the right approach is, hey, we got to be pissed off this week and see what happens. So,
not to dwell too much on the Panda game last week because it is two games ago now, but what was the difference? Because in the first quarter, you guys looked so great, and then the last three quarters, it just wasn't there.
Yeah, you know, I think we hopefully fixed that a little bit. I think we played a little bit not to lose instead of taking it to them like we did in the first quarter and a half. Made a few mistakes, put the ball on the carpet there a little bit. Blew one coverage, and when you play state-ranked team like that, they're going to take advantage of those things. And, I think as I've done this throughout the years, that might be one of the greatest learning opportunities for us. I'm happy it wasn't week 10 when that happened, and it was more week 4 than before. So.
And you've been around this long enough to know, Chad, that sometimes, even in a loss in a game like that, your team can improve drastically.
You know what, that's very well put, and especially one of those games where you're giving yourself an opportunity. We were able to recover from a few things and just came up. We ran out of time on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
Problem. We were moving the ball in the fourth quarter and just couldn't get it done. So,
And so then from your coaching perspective, you had to love the way that your kids rebounded from a tough loss to really come out and play a great all-around game last night.
Yeah, I thought our effort in all phases of the game, all three phases, were really, really good. You know, we stuck to our game plan, didn't panic after the loss last week and put some new stuff in or anything like that, kind of stayed the course, and knew Staunton would be on a high after winning last week as well. So, you know, I think those are atmospheric things that you have to overcome mentally. Thought we threw the ball well and controlled the line of scrimmage up front, which was very nice.
And you guys have really done that, I think, throughout the year. Your interior line play and really line play as a whole has been very good for you.
Yeah, you know, we're very senior-oriented there, and our offensive line, I thought, did a good job. And I tell you what, our defensive line does not get enough credit, has really done a nice job throughout the entire season. No one's been able to really, quote-unquote, pound it at us consistently for four quarters. So those guys are getting it done in the trenches.
As you look at your team health-wise now, how are you through 5 weeks?
I'll tell you what, we're really healthy. You know, we've kind of stuck to our motto from week one. We've been playing a lot of kids, depth chart-wise, in situations, rolling kids every other series. And it's kind of paying off here as we start to, and it's kind of scary to say this, as we start to enter the later half of the season, which just seems that it's flown by. So,
you guys are home next week to entertain the Gillespie Miners, and that will be, it will be an interesting week, I would think, for Don Borgini.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's obviously, yeah, that will be an interesting thing. We went through that last year down mm-hmm. there a little bit, having coached there and those types of things. But, you know, I think Gillespie-Cardinville matchup is always a great matchup, regardless of who's doing what throughout the season. But, you know, it is what it is. I think we got Spirit Week next week, so all that good stuff.
And I don't know, like, who Cardinville's, quote-unquote, traditional rival is in the South Central, but Gillespie's a pretty good choice.
Well, I tell you what, you know, they are. Before my time, I guess it was a huge, huge one. So, you know, a lot of people, you know, circle Cardinville on their schedule as a team that they need to beat. So, you know, it'll be a big week for us as well. And stay focused. And, you know, right now you're looking at, as we start to enter the later half, is, you know, it's not uncommon to start thinking about where you're going to be in the playoff picture, if you're going to be in that race, or how to get that best seat. When week 10 rolls around, you would really want to put yourself in a home game situation. So, you know, all those things are being talked about.
Absolutely. It'll be here before we know it, that pesky little week 10.
Yeah, well, I know. We were just joking about on the bus ride home that it's hard to believe that we've been practicing now for, you know, 10 weeks, and it seems like it's just flown by. But
so it does go as fast for you guys as the coaching staff and players as it does for spectators and fans?
Oh, I mean, for me personally, it does. I love the game plan. I love the draw. You know, I sit in my chair, and I got my own little stack of stuff to the right of it there. But, yeah, it flies by for me. And, you know, I always tell my seniors that we have a standard line at Cardinville. I get to do this stuff every year. You should enjoy every minute that you get to. So, you know, but, it's flown by.
Awesome. Chad Easton, we always appreciate your time on Saturday mornings. Congratulations on the win last night, and best of luck next week, sir.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Chad Easterday from Carlinville, and we'll have the Gillespie-Carlinville broadcast on WSMI FM 106 next Friday night from Carlinville. They will kick off at 7, the Pizza Man pregame show for you at 6:30 next Friday evening. And our other broadcast feature on the Ox next week, we'll have Litchfield traveling to Roxana. Again, kickoff at 7, Pizza Man pregame show 6:30 on 105.3 The Ox. All high school sports streaming, WSMIRadio.com, WAOX.com. We need to get to a break. When we come back, we're going to try to catch up with Hillsboro head coach Aaron Duff. The Toppers improved to 5-0 on the year. Duffy on the way.
9:15 on Sports Saturday. Now back to Tim Mize. And Tim, we've got a 5-0 Hillsboro team for the first time in a while.
I think about 10 years. I think 2006.
I think you're right.
The last time they went 5-0, and that was Rich Stewart at the helm. And, of course, Aaron Duff returned to Hillsboro. Boy, he's in his ninth year now as a Topper head coach. That's a little hard to
9 years have just flown by.
They really have. My goodness. 9 years for Duffy at Hillsboro. Certainly the best squad he's had in Topper Nation, as they improved to 5-0 last night. As David said, they beat Gillespie 26-0, and they sit atop the South Central Conference undefeated with the Paint the Panthers both at 5-0. And of course, they are scheduled to play in week 9, and 2 years in a row, not last year, but the previous 2 years prior to last year, Hillsborough and Pena squared off in week nine, both 4-4. So it was a win and get into the playoff scenario. Pena won the first matchup, then Hillsborough got the second meeting in that scenario. Now here we are, a couple of years later, both squads sitting undefeated on the year with that week nine matchup looming, but so much more football to play, and especially from Hillsborough's perspective. They've got a tough close to the season here at 4-1 Vandalia coming up next Friday night, and then a week seven showdown with the Carthenville Cavaliers. That game will be played at Hillsborough. It will be a broadcast feature on the Tally Broadcasting stations. And then, of course, you have Pena in week nine for the Toppers, and then Litchfield mixed in there in week eight for Hillsborough. But you go at Vandalia, home to Carthenville, a big two-game stretch for the Hillsborough Hilltoppers. Looking at some scores out of the Sangamo Conference last night, North Mac and Auburn played an absolute thriller down to the wire. It was a game we had for you on FM 106, and the Panthers won it essentially at the buzzer when they went, scored the touchdown to pull within a point, then went for two and got it. Guts from Shane Alzey. We'll be talking to the head coach of the North Mac Panthers here later on in the program. But North Mac 5-0. They are atop the Sangamo Conference with Athens, who beat Pittsfield last night 55-20. And then you have Williamsville and Marrora Forsyth, both sitting at 4-1. Williamsville over Plains last night 51-14. And Marrora Forsyth blanked Porta last night by the final of 49-0. Some other scores out of the Sangamo: New Berlin beat Riverton 44-22. And then that was worthy scores in the Sangamo last night. And joining us on the phone right now is the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, Aaron Duff. And Duffy, the Toppers are 5-0 for the first time since, we believe, 2006. How's that sound to you?
That sounds really good. I'm very happy for our kids. We did not play very well last night, and especially first half, but we ended up finding a way to win, just very happy for our kids.
And I would imagine from a coaching perspective, a little bit of an uneasy feeling last night. You guys, your first three possessions start in Gillespie territory, yet you only come away with 6 points.
Yeah, after watching film, I just didn't see it last night, but after watching film, our kids were confused up front and were blocking things really totally wrong. Hmm. We got it fixed on film this morning, but those are things you deal with, high school kids. But we're going to get that fixed and come back next week.
And that was one of those games. I talked to you before the game. You never know in a situation where the home team is honoring a legendary coach like Gillespie was last night with Don DeBrino, you're going to get the opponent's best shot, and you did last night.
Yeah, they played very well. That would give them a lot of credit. They played hard, and I told our kids, it was going to be a different night than what we saw on film from them. And it was. They played very physical. They ran to the football. Our defense played very well. Held them to zero. And our defense is continuing to get better. But I was expecting a very tough game, and it ended up being that way. And I'm just glad we came out second half and played better.
Does Mitchell Reynolds drive the bus home as well? Because he seems to do about everything else for you guys.
Mitchell is a very, very solid player. He has a good head on his shoulders. I really should probably run him more, and I'm going to. He can throw a little bit when we need it. He's just very solid, very good player. He listens to you. He's one of those kinds of guys that you like to coach.
Well, and he'll hit you too when he's playing defense. My goodness.
Yes, he will. Both our safeties, him and Alec Tilt back there, will come up and give you a lick, which has been very nice for us. It's a long season, like you said earlier. I just got my truck, and we have a tough road here. The last part of the season, we've got some very good football teams to play, so we're going to have to get better and have some great practices and get ready to go.
Aaron Duff, the head coach of the Hillsborough Hilltoppers, joining us here on Sports Saturday. Duffy, I've seen you the last 2 weeks at home against Greenville, a good win last Saturday, then last night, and to me, this Topper team looks like the, I guess, most vintage Hillsborough team that you've had in terms of power running and hitting people on defense.
Yeah, it's been very nice. We've sort of got back to, running some power football. Even though last night, really, we had to spread it out to get some things going. So we've had the capability to also run some spread style stuff, to mix it up. So, our guys do like to, to be physical and come up and play. And, we've got some experience this year. You know, past years we've been playing young kids, and now those young kids are older. And that experience is a big key in high school football.
And obviously, you guys will take it 1 week at a time, as you have throughout the year. But your next two games here at Vandalia, home to Carlinville. Hello.
Yep, two tough ones. Vandalia's 4-1, and so is Carlinville. And Carlinville could have been 5-0. They're a good football team. And you're exactly right. We play Vandalia this week. We can't look ahead at all. And I told the guys this morning, yes, we've won 5 games. You're eligible to be in the playoffs. Doesn't mean you're in. So we have to get that win number 6, and that hopefully that starts this week with preparing for Vandalia.
And Vandalia, that's always a tricky spot, no matter what type of club you're taking in.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's tough. Vandalia Hillsboro is always a tough ball game, always close ball game. Usually is a war. It comes down to a couple little things, and we're expecting the same thing.
Aaron Duff, the Toppers off to a 5-0 start. We appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck next week, sir.
All right, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, Aaron Duff of the Hillsboro Hilltoppers, an impressive win last night, 26-0. And you heard Duffy mention it. They didn't play their best, but on the road in a supercharged environment to pitch a shutout, that's a good statement.
And they've really played well. They beat, obviously, didn't bring it up much, but they beat a good Greenville team last week in a barn burner that you had as well. Last 3 weeks have been pretty pretty close for them, because Roxana, 3 weeks ago, or 2 weeks ago, then Greenville last week, and now Gillespie. They've played some pretty close games the last 3 weeks. Good preparation heading into Vandalia.
I'll tell you what, that Hillsboro-Greenville game, and shame on me for not bringing it up when we talked to Duffy, that was one of the most physical high school football games I've seen in a while. I mean, Hillsboro came out and they just punched them right in the mouth.
No surprise.
No.
With what was at stake?
It's fun to watch, though.
Oh, yeah.
When Hillsboro's playing that way.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to have Hillsboro where they are right now. I mean, they've been good, but it's nice to have them off to a 5-0 start.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And if they are to get to 6-0, they will have to do it on the road at Vandalia. The Vandals quietly putting together a nice year at 4-1. They beat Litchfield last night 49-14. So we've ran down the South Central and the Sangamo scores. Let's get into the Prairie State Conference here. Nokomis beat Bunker Hill last night 41-32. South Fork, they shut out Mount Olive 12-0. Marquette beats Pawnee 33-28. The second conference loss for Pawnee on the young season. Wood River, they beat Metro East 34-4. A different type of score there. Metro still winless on the year. So you start looking at the Prairie State Conference standings. You have South Fork and Marquette both 3-0 in league play, sitting atop the conference. And Pawnee, who was by all accounts and by most folks the consensus pick to win the Prairie State Conference, now sitting at 1-2 in Prairie State play. In the WIVC South last night, Greenfield Northwestern beat North Green 48-16. Greenfield Northwestern now 4-1 overall, 3-0 in the league. Carrollton beat Pleasant Hill 52-12. And Calhoun, they stayed perfect in conference play, beating West Central 44-8. So Calhoun, along with Greenfield Northwestern, also 4-1 and 3-0 in conference play. In the WIVC North last night, Beardstown, they beat Jacksonville Route in a shootout 66-34. It was Minden Unity over Camp Point Central 28-14. And Triopia, they lost at Brown County last night by the final of 36-30. And we are happy now and honored to be joined on the phone by the legendary head coach of the Gillespie Miners, Mr. Don DeBrino. And, Coach, thank you so much for a few minutes of your time this morning. How you doing?
Fine. Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Well, last night, we'll get to the game in a second, Coach, but you were on the field. You had players from multiple decades, multiple programs that you have coached over your long tenure on the field at once. What was that moment like for you? You probably saw some people you hadn't seen for a while. Coach? I think we lost Coach. Perhaps he was in a bad cell area. Coach, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
What was it like last night seeing all those former players on the field at halftime? A lot of emotions, I'm sure.
Oh, yes, very much. It was unreal to see some of these players that I haven't seen in a long time, and I really appreciate what happened last night. You know, being a coach for so many years and seeing some of those fellas, and it was unreal.
You even had a, well, not a young man now, I guess, but a man from your first football coaching experience at DePue High School. That is pretty cool.
Oh, yes, it was. I remember him. I didn't recognize him with that big beard, but then I recognized him. But his name was,
Unfortunately, we don't have a very good cell connection with Coach DeBrino right now, so we're going to take a quick break. We're going to try to get a better cell connection with Don DeBrino. Hopefully, he will be able to hold steady with us here, but we're going to take a quick break. We're going to try to reconnect with Don DeBrino when we come back following these messages. With Don DeBrino, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners, and hopefully we've got a little better connection this time. And, Coach, we were just talking before we had to go to break about the emotions last night seeing all those former players. And you were on the field after you had met everyone, and you said a few words. And you got choked up talking about the experience of last night. And you said something I thought was interesting. You said, "I hope that I taught them more than just football." And, Coach, I think it's safe to say all those kids wouldn't have come back if you had taught them just football.
Yes, I think. I believe that now. And but I do truly believe that's what happened. And I hope that I did do some good as far as them growing up. And it was a great honor to see all those guys last night. And I got choked up a little bit. And, it was just a wonderful thing. My kids had played hard on the field, and that was a great thing too. And I really appreciate what happened. There was about two or three players that had this set up for me, so I really appreciate it.
Coach, as you look back at your long head coaching tenure, is there a few moments that really stand out to you above the rest? A lot of good memories.
Oh, yes, there's a lot of good memories. First of all, I think winning the first conference when I came here, and then later on going to the playoffs, and then finally going to the state tournament in 76 and 90 was a great accomplishment for these kids. And, just coaching football is, to be around kids is just an honor for me. I just love the kids and like what they did, and just appreciate everything they did for me. Thank you.
And getting to this year's team, they left it all on the field for you last night.
Yes, they did. Team coming in 4-0, sometimes they overlook a person like us. And I think the kids knew what was happening on the field for me personally. I think that brought them up a little bit. And I knew we could play better football than we have, and they showed it last night, and we're very proud of them.
Your defense last night really kept you in that ball game for three quarters.
Yes, they did. And then, of course, we had some turnovers, which gave them ball in good field position, which hurts. And then, of course, being on the field so long in the first half did help us as far as our conditioning later in the game.
Yeah, I think Hillsborough had 21 plays in the first quarter to your four, and that did seem to have an effect as the game went on. And I guess, Coach, one thing that has not changed in all your years of football is turnovers will make it a lot harder to win a football game.
Oh, yes, definitely. If you can stop it from taking turnovers, it really helps you. Game is, defense and lack of turnovers keep you in the ballgame.
Coach, I had to chuckle last night when I got to the stadium. I walked past your locker room, and there was music just blaring out of the door, and I thought to myself, that has probably changed a little bit since Coach DeBrino was playing back in the day.
Yes, very much so. I can't handle it, but I let him play it.
Hey, and that's what you got to do. And I think that's, Coach, why you've had the success through the generations like you have. You've adapted as the kids have changed through the years. You have to.
Oh, yes. Very much so. Very much so.
Well, Coach Jabrina, we thank you so much for a few minutes of your time last night. Congratulations on your outstanding career. That ceremony last night was wonderful. Congratulations, sir.
All right. Thank you very much. All right. Appreciate it.
Don Jabrina, the head coach of the Gillespie Miners. And I always think back to those Mount Olive teams he had with Chucky Cox where they were in the Final Four against Tuscola. Boy, that man, he can coach football now.
Hard to go up there, what, twice against Tuscola?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes you just run into a powerhouse like that, and that's where it ends.
That's right, but some fun teams to watch over the years that have been led by the great Don Jabrina.
It'll be different not having him as an option as head coach.
It will be, absolutely. Well, this is it for Coach Don Jabrina hanging it up at the end of the year, so just 4 games left in his Hall of Fame career.
I think, his celebration is tomorrow, I believe? I think that's what we said last week.
It's a weekend celebration.
Weekend celebration, okay. Yeah.
That's right.
That's right.
We need to get to a break here. They're celebrating in Verdon and Girard today. They got a huge win over Auburn last night. Down to the wire. We'll talk to Shane Owsley when we come back following these messages.
27 seconds to go. Third and goal from the 1 for the Panthers of North Mac. Grant Graham. Out of the shotgun. Gets the snap. Hands off to Bearden. Bearden, touchdown! Kendall Bearden makes it a 14-13 ball game. With 24 seconds left in the fourth quarter, the Panthers are going to go for the 2-point conversion and for the lead. Well, 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 here we go. Graham out of the shotgun. Panthers trailing by a point, going for the 2-point conversion. There's the handoff to Bearden, going wide right. He is in for the 2-point conversion. And the Panthers have a 1-point lead at 15-14.
Gutsy call from North Mac head coach Shane Owsley as the Panthers go for the win and get it done. And Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, joining us on Sports Saturday right now. And coach, that's why you make the big bucks, buddy. Gutsy decision.
I guess. It was just a situation where we had gone into overtime with them last year, and it looked like, you know, based on the festivities that we had this week and some extra conditioning that we had, I didn't think we had a whole lot more in the tank. So I thought if we were going to get it taken care of, we needed to do it in regulation.
Well, I guess that's one of those deals. Since it worked, it was a great decision. If it hadn't worked, well, you would have been an idiot, right?
Exactly. It was going to be a boom or bust situation, and you know, we actually ran the extra point team onto the field to kick the extra point, and Coach Bates called for a timeout, and again, he doesn't have a Hall of Fame ring on his finger for not having a reason for it. So I knew he would come up with some kind of block and trying to ice our kicker, and our kicker is a first year guy and he's done a great job for us. That's a lot of pressure to put on somebody that hasn't played football for a while. So luckily for us, he called that timeout and we were able to come through with an effective play.
And in high school football, the extra point, no matter how good your kicker, is never a guarantee.
Well, there's just so much involved with it, you know, with the snap and the hold, and like you said, with the kicker itself, and you've got, you know, 11 guys coming at him all at once, so it's never an easy play. And like I said, we'd had one offensive play that we had started running in the fourth quarter and running pretty effectively, so it worked on the touchdown, and then, you know, we came right back to it in the 2-point conversion, and luckily enough, Kendall was able to get it onto the pylon.
Now, Shane Owsley, the head coach of the North Mac Panthers, joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday. And you guys are off to that 5-0 start. And in a conference like the Sangamo, that is really impressive.
I'm sorry, you cut out. I missed you there.
To be 5-0 in the Sangamo Conference, very impressive at this stage in the game.
Well, it's a, I mean, it's an, you know, huge conference. Every week, if you're not ready to go, then there's a huge opportunity that you may lose. So, you have to be ready to go week in and week out. And like we said, we feel like if we can get to that 5 wins like we did this week, that, once we get into those playoffs, then we should be battle tested and ready to go.
Absolutely. Shane Owsley, a great victory last night, sir. Thank you so much for a few minutes of your time, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Shane Owsley from the North Mac Panthers, not the best of connections there. Not sure what that was about, but
I'm not sure either. Do some investigating, see what happened.
It is,
I will.
What it is.
Yeah, we'll have a better connection next week.
That's exactly right. But you heard it talk about it. So much. That's coaching right there. You can't just have a set thing of what you're going to do. You have to be able to adapt and move with the flow of the game. And you heard Shane talk about it. After the game they had last week, a physical contest with Williamsville, they didn't want anything to do with overtime last night. So you go for it right then and there. And it reminds me of the Greenville game, playoff game several years ago over at Mount Carmel, where they went for two and won 71 to 70. And I remember talking to Todd Hutchinson and said, that was a tough call. He said, no. He said, easiest call I've ever made. And it was just one of those deals where the way the game was going, they weren't stopping anybody. So they had to try to win it there, right then and there. And you see that last night in the North Mac Auburn game, to where the Panthers saw an opportunity to win the game. They took advantage.
Right, exactly. Like you said, they had all the momentum at the time. They were down, 2.5 minutes to play, down by 7. And I think Auburn had the ball, and Auburn turns it over, and they score. So everything's going your way at that point, so why not go for it? And like you said, Coach Bates could have iced the kicker and maybe put a little bit of nerves into him, and he would have missed an extra point. So why even chance it there? Just go for two and play for the win. I mean, at this point, the start that they have, if you lose to Auburn, you're not getting knocked out of the playoffs. So.
Oh, no. And, I mean, that is a rivalry game, Auburn and North Mac. And Shane talked about it last week. Can you really consider it a rivalry if there's not equal winning on both sides? Well,
they won two in a row now.
Exactly. Exactly. So I guarantee you, if Auburn didn't consider it a rivalry before, they do now.
That's right. That's right.
Auburn 2-3 on the year now. Lost by 1 point to Athens last week, 1 point to North Mac last night.
With the exception of their championship game appearance last year, they have not lost a game by more than one possession, I believe, between the last two seasons. I mean, they've been close games, and it just goes to show you that Coach Bates has his team ready to play every week, and it's going to be tough to beat him. And if you do beat him, it's going to be close.
That's exactly right. Yeah, and Auburn very rarely will beat themselves. You have to go out. You have to take it from Auburn, and that's and North Mac last night, they trailed basically the whole game.
Yeah. And you know, for Auburn, meanwhile, they've got really, I guess, the rest of their schedule going down the ways. It's Auburn, I think, is their last, or not? Excuse me, Merle Forsyth is their last true test. Now, granted, you can never take anybody for granted in the Sangamo Conference,
oh, no.
But Merle Forsyth.
They got Athens in a couple of weeks.
No, they just lost Athens last week.
Oh, Auburn. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So.
I was thinking North Mac.
Right. Right. Yeah. Auburn has already played Athens, but yes, North Mac still does have to face Athens. North Mac's in the playoffs, or they've clinched a eligibility. That is. So they're sitting okay. Auburn can only lose one game the rest of the season in order to still be eligible.
Right. North Mac, though, they're not worried about just making the playoffs. They've got conference championship and deep postseason runs squarely in the forefront of their mind.
Well, you want to go past the second round this year, since that's where you were eliminated last year, so you want to build off of that. They've got a three-headed monster at running back with Asa Donaldson, Kendall Bearden, and Griffin Hatala. Those boys can run the ball.
They did it last night, a 15-14 win over the Auburn Trojans to remain perfect on the year. So in the Sangamo Conference, you have Athens and North Mac sitting at 5-0. In the South Central Conference, you have Hillsboro and Pena sitting 5-0. North Mac and Athens will square off in Week 7. Hillsboro and Pena will square off in Week 9. But a lot of football between here and there to sort things out. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more following these messages.
9:45 on Sports Saturday. Now back to Tim Mize and Tim Nokomis. After an 0-3 start, they are 2-3.
That's exactly right. Head coach Paul Watson in his first year for the Skins, taking over for Gabe Cesaretti. And Nokomis started, as David said, 0-3. They've now scored back-to-back wins. They beat Bunker Hill last night, 41-32. We'll see if we can make connection with Nokomis head coach Paul Watson here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Some non-football high school athletics. Soccer today, Vandalia is at Carthenville. North Mac travels to Mount Pulaski, and Pena is at St. Anthony. Also, the Lincolnwood Invitational today, Hillsborough Gillespie at 10. Litchfield and Lincolnwood will follow at 11:30. And the IESA baseball sectionals are today. Should be a gorgeous day for that. The Class 1A sectional at Pawnee has the host Pawnee taking on Bunker Hill. In the 2A baseball sectional at Lincolnwood, it'll be Gillespie and Pittsfield. The winners on to the state quarterfinals. Those games will be played next week. Our broadcast features for next Friday night, we will have Gillespie at Carthenville here on WSMI FM 106. Litchfield at Roxana on WAOX 105.3 The Ox. We'll stream all the high school sports online at WSMIRadio.com and WAOX.com. Cardinal baseball for you this morning from Wrigley Field in Chicago. We will have live coverage coming up at 11:10 this morning on WSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. The Cubbies have clinched home field advantage throughout the postseason. They have been dominant at Wrigley Field so far here in 2016, and the National League pennant will roll through the north side of Chicago. As yesterday, the Cubs blanked the Cardinals 5-0 as Jake Arrieta was in vintage form, shutting down the Redbirds yesterday. Other National League scores, Pittsburgh beat the Nationals 6-5 in 11 innings. Atlanta beat Miami 3-2. The Mets over Philadelphia 10-5. The Brewers beat the Reds 5-4. The Dodgers over Colorado 5-2. And the Padres beat the Giants 7-2. The Mets game and the Giants game, of course, are the two scores for Cardinal fans to keep their eyes on. You've got the Mets holding the top wild card spot right now, a game and a half ahead of the Cardinals. The Giants in a free fall. They still hold the second wild card spot, just a half game clear of the Cardinals. And my goodness, the Giants, if the Cubs have been the model of consistency this year, the Giants have been the opposite. They had the best record in baseball in the first half, and they have the worst record in baseball in the second half. How does that happen?
There really is no explanation. Well, I guess there is an explanation. It's their bullpen. Because right now that seems to be the problem, because they can't hold a lead.
But what happened, though, between the first half and the second half?
I don't know. I mean, you would think, based on the Giants' history, I mean, they've won 3 of the last 5 World Series championships. They've still got the core back from those teams. I mean, you've got an ace like Madison Bumgarner. Johnny Cueto is a pretty darn good number two to have. And the rest of the rotation, you know, Jeff Samardzija is a really good guy to have as number three. And then 4 and 5, I'm not remembering who their 4th and 5th starters are. But honestly, with those three, you could kind of pencil in anybody for your 4th rotation spot in the playoffs, and you'd probably be okay. Not to mention the lineup that they have. You've got Buster Posey and Hunter Pence. I can't explain why they're struggling. I'm sure Giants fans can't either. It's a mystery.
It'll be interesting to see what Joe Maddon and the Cubbies decide to do with their postseason rotation. There's a lot of talk that Kyle Hendricks is going to win the National League Cy Young. And he's arguably, well, not arguably, he's the 3rd best pitcher on your team.
Right, right.
And maybe 4th if John Lackey's healthy.
Yeah. I think Lester is also in the Cy Young talk, too. He's all of a sudden put together Cy Young quietly.
Well, they split votes.
Yeah, it could happen, much like it did in 2009 for the Cardinals, and which, in that case, you might see a guy like Jose Fernandez end up winning the Cy Young, who's having an outstanding year, and because those two Cubs pitchers will take votes away.
Max Scherzer's having a pretty good year.
He is. He is. I mean, you can't really go wrong with any of them, but...
But it will come down to, will the Cubbies split votes?
Yeah.
If they do, it could cost Kyle Hendricks or John Lester.
I mean, they might even split it 3 ways, because I'm sure Arrieta's going to get some consideration.
He's
not going to win it, but he'll probably get some consideration.
Well, he'll get consideration because he's the reigning winner of the award, but he hasn't been nearly as consistently dominant this year.
No,
yesterday, obviously, he was, and he's had those stretches. But, I mean, last year, he was unhittable.
Isn't he still among the league leaders in ERA, I think?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
But you're talking about last year. I mean, you couldn't even hit the dude.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even touch him. He didn't walk anybody. Everything was filthy coming out of his hand. And he still got that, but he didn't have it from start 1 to start 30 like he did a year ago.
No, this is true. Going back to the wild card race, you know, you look at the Giants' remaining schedule for the last week of the season and the Mets' remaining schedule. The Mets don't play a team that's over 500. I think they've got the Phillies next weekend, who they're playing right now. I believe they're playing the Braves again at the beginning of this next week.
Yeah, but I don't know how much that actually matters, because in some ways, if you're playing a team
Braves did just, what, take two of three
exactly.
or shoot the Mets?
You're playing a team that's terrible. It has nothing to lose. Yeah. There's no pressure. If you're playing a contending club, they're under the same type of circumstances that you are. But when you're playing a team that literally has nothing to lose, mm-hmm. that can be tricky.
It can, and the Cardinals play the Reds for four at the beginning of this week, and the Cardinals have really struggled against Cincinnati this year. I mean, for some reason, they've not dominated them like they have over the last few years.
There's been a lot of things this year about the Cardinals that have been unusual. Mm-hmm. Terrible at home.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest thing. Like, if they wind up missing the playoffs, that will clearly be what did it to them.
Because,
they've got the best road record in baseball.
Well, I believe I read a statistic somewhere that I think they have at least 46 or maybe 47 road wins, which the last time, every time that they've won, you know, at least that many road games, they've at least made it to the World Series.
Hmm.
So that says how bad a year they've had at home. I mean, if they're struggling this bad.
They've got a 7-game homestand to close out the year. They could win all 7 and still have a losing record at home.
Mm-hmm. It's been a bizarre year. And you wouldn't think Mike Matheny is on the hot seat because he's made the playoffs. What, this is his 5th year as manager, I believe, and 4 years, his first 4 years. But, I mean, gauging some of the reaction of the Cardinals fans, myself included, and the St. Louis media, his chair might be getting a little warm heading into next season.
Yeah, I mean, well, who knows with that type of stuff. You can't argue.
He got the vote of confidence.
That's never good.
Yeah.
It does seem that whenever the general manager comes out and gives the manager a vote of confidence, no matter what sport it is, it's usually the KOD.
Yeah.
But it would be so un-Cardinal-like for them to fire their manager
right.
when they've had the type of success they've had. Now, doesn't mean that it won't happen. And believe me, Mike Matheny, he leaves a lot to be desired. When you see what Joe Maddon's doing with the Cubs, I mean, he just manages circles right around Matheny every single game that they're squared off. But the thing that concerns me with Matheny is there's no progression. He makes the same boneheaded mistakes now that he made in his first year. And you could write it off his first couple of years because he was literally coming from Little League baseball.
Mm-hmm.
No real baseball experience. But now you're 5th year on the job. Why can we not rest players? Why are we constantly having our bullpen ran into the ground? These are basic things. We're not splitting the atom here. We're not performing brain surgery. Mm-hmm. Yadier Molina is on pace to catch more innings than he's ever caught. And he always leads baseball in innings caught.
He's actually going to finish the season, it looks like. I mean, fingers crossed, he's going to finish the season. But he's been one of their best hitters this year.
He's had a great year.
Yeah. So, but you have your top catching prospect on the team right now. I realize you're in a pennant race, but Carson Kelly is no slouch. He's still pretty good and pretty good defensively. You can afford to rest Molina here and there.
Well, but now's not the time to rest Yachty.
You don't think so?
There's 10, what?
You could still.
Got 9 games left.
You could still play him. Put him at first. With as well as he's doing offensively this season, I'm okay with putting him at first.
Mm-hmm.
To get Carson Kelly some exposure.
It'll be interesting to see if going into next year, if Carson Kelly makes it as the backup right out of spring training. But he does seem to have all the tools to be a potential stud moving forward. He was in that futures game this past summer along with Alex Reyes, and now here we are a couple of months later, both on the big league squad. Cards Cubs today from Wrigley Field, live coverage at 11:10 this morning on WQSMI AM 1540 and FM 106.9. I think we have Paul Watson. No, we don't have someone on the phone? Or we do? Oh, Terry. David deked me. We'll have T-Toad. He is for Mickey Fest, I think, over there in Gillespie.
But an old fall festival. No?
Oh, that's
yeah.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Mickey Fest.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Mickey World?
Mickey.
Or does Disney World have some sort of trademark on that term?
You better look out. The mouse is going to come for you.
He is. Tobin will be on my back door.
I'm going to shut you down.
He's working for Mouse Security now.
That's right.
Not really.
He's in Gillespie now. Then he's heading over after that to Bethalto. He'll be at the airport there again for the big day they have. That's always quite an event they put on there.
Huge.
I think he's actually going to be set up on the tarmac out there.
Oh, yeah. Enjoys it.
Coming travel.
Maybe they'll let him fly a plane, too, if he wants to.
That would be a sight.
Well, he's taken a helicopter ride, and he didn't really get to enjoy it. Maybe he'll get to enjoy a plane ride.
Well, even
if he wants to, that is. I don't know. I don't know how he is about flying.
I don't either. I don't see him wanting to get up in a plane today.
Yeah, maybe not. Not with a stunt driver, maybe?
Probably not.
Are they going to have those there? I guess we'll find out
when we listen
to him.
T'll let us know.
Oh, yeah.
We'll find out one way or the other from T during his live broadcast. But we'll be hearing from Terry Toe coming up following Worldwide News at 10:03 here on WSMI FM 106. Cards Cubs play the national game tomorrow night, ESPN, and the way the Cardinals have been playing, they don't really want to be on national television right now. Outscored 16-1 in the last two games. And those last two games, the last game in Colorado, they were tied for the postseason berth in the wild card with the Mets and the Giants. Got rocked that day. Both the Giants and the Mets were idle, so they lost the half game there, and then the debacle yesterday at Wrigley Field. But that notwithstanding, I love Friday afternoon baseball, Cards Cubs at Wrigley, especially this late in the season. That's just good stuff.
Oh, yeah. And there was also a kind of a roster change, too. Luke Weaver's been moved to the bullpen for the rest of the week that's left in the regular season for Jaime Garcia.
That had to happen.
Yeah. Well, and I think Weaver might, I'd have to check it, but I think Weaver might be at his innings total. I know he got a late start to the season because of a broken left wrist, but he had, since returning, he had basically made every start, so I think he was probably reaching a limit where it's okay. I mean,
we had a bad inning in San Francisco and a bad inning.
Which the San Francisco one wasn't all his fault. It was bad defense. Didn't give up an earned run in that start.
Right. But still.
And
you got to find a way to limit it to less than six.
This is true. Well, you also kind of knew that playing in Colorado, things were really going to have to go your way for a rookie pitcher to succeed there. It's tough to pitch in Colorado.
It's true. Yeah, he was in Colorado. That's right.
Right.
The league started yesterday, had the rough inning.
Right, and it's a pitcher like him. I know he does strike out quite a few, but he is also around the plate quite a bit. So that's not a good kind of pitcher to have pitching at Coors Field.
It's always good to get out of Coors Field, though, with your pitching staff intact. He's actually won 2 out of 3. So
I was fine with him. I was worried they were going to lose 2 of 3, honestly. I was okay with taking 2 of 3. More than okay, because they have struggled in Colorado over the last couple of years.
And clearly the Cardinals are in must-win mode here the rest of the way, but this game today at Wrigley Field, my goodness, you got to have it.
Is it Alex Reyes?
It's Alex Reyes. Got to have it.
I mean, he showed up big on Sunday, so we'll see if he does it again.
He's been a stud.
He has been, and he needs the innings because he, unlike Luke Weaver, is not at his limit.
That's right. They need him to show up big time today. Cards, Cubs, 11:10 this morning, AM 1540 and FM 106.9 from Wrigley Field. We want to thank all of our area coaches who joined us this morning. Chad Easterday, Aaron Duff, Don DeBrino, and Shane Owsley. Thank you so much for their time this morning. Sports Saturday is done here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on. For David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize. Have a great weekend, everybody.